You are listening to KBOO Portland. It is 3 o'clock in the morning. Hold on, we gotta move stuff. We gotta disconnect. We have to disconnect the previous show, and then we gotta connect me. All right, let me do this thing here. La 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 la, la 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 la. Don't go anywhere. Don't go anywhere. Don't leave town, anybody. All right, hang on. All right, now I'm plugged in. I was so revved up and ready to go, man. All right, ready? Here we go.
United States dollar took another pounding on German, French, and British exchanges this morning, hitting the lowest point ever known in West Germany. It has declined there by 41% since 1971, and this Canadian thinks it's time to speak up for the Americans as the most generous and possibly the least appreciated people in all the world. As long as 60 years ago, when I first started to read newspapers, I read of floods on the Yellow River and the Yangtze. Well, who rushed in with men and money to help? The Americans did, that's who. They have helped control floods on the Nile, the Amazon, the Ganges, and the Niger. Today, the rich bottom land of the Mississippi is underwater, and no foreign land has sent a dollar to help. Germany, Japan, and to a lesser extent, Britain and Italy, were lifted out of the debris of war by the Americans who poured in billions of dollars and forgave other billions in debts. None of those countries is today paying even the interest on its remaining debts to the United States. When the franc was in danger of collapsing in 1956, it was the Americans who propped it up. And their reward was to be insulted and swindled on the streets of Paris. And I was there. I saw that. When distant cities are hit by earthquake, it's the United States that hurries in to help. Managua, Nicaragua is one of the most recent examples. So far this spring, 59 American communities have been flattened by tornadoes. Nobody has helped. The Marshall Plan, the Truman Policy, all pump billions upon billions of dollars into discouraged countries. And now newspapers in those countries are writing about the decadent, war-mongering Americans. Now, I'd like to see just one of those countries that is gloating over the erosion of the United States dollar build its own airplanes. Come on now, you, let's hear it. Does any country in the world have a plane to equal a Boeing jumbo jet, the Lockheed TriStar, or the Douglas 10? If so, why don't they fly them? Why do all international lines except Russia fly American planes? Why does no other land on Earth even consider putting a man or a woman on the moon? You talk about Japanese technocracy and you get radios. You talk about German technocracy and you get automobiles. You talk about American technocracy and you find men on the moon, not once but several times, and safely home again. You talk about scandals and the Americans put theirs right in the store window for everybody to look at. Even the draft dodgers are not pursued and hounded. They're right here on our streets in Toronto. Most of them, unless they're breaking Canadian laws, are getting American dollars from Ma and Pa at home to spend up here. When the Americans get out of this bind, as they will, who could blame them if they said to hell with the rest of the world? Let somebody else buy the bonds. Let somebody else build or repair foreign dams or design foreign buildings that won't shake apart in earthquakes. When the railways of France and Germany and India were breaking down through age, it was the Americans who rebuilt them. When the Pennsylvania Railroad and the New York Central went broke, nobody loaned them an old caboose. Both of them are still broke. I can name to you 5,000 times when the Americans raced to the help of other people in trouble. Can you name to me even one time when someone else raced to the Americans in trouble? I don't think there was outside help even during the San Francisco earthquake. Our neighbors have faced it alone. And I'm one Canadian who is damn tired of hearing them kicked around. They'll come out of this thing with their flag high. And when they do, they're entitled to thumb their noses at the lands that are gloating over their present troubles. I hope Canada is not one of these. But there are many smug, self-righteous Canadians. And finally, the American Red Cross was told at its 48th annual meeting in New Orleans this morning that it was broke. This year's disasters, with the year less than half over, has taken it all, and nobody, but nobody, has helped.
Yes! Yes, I got my blood pumping. I want to go bomb someplace in the Middle East right now. I am pumped. I am pumped. I am jacked with patriotic fervor. I just thought that would be an appropriate way to start a Memorial Day show. Hola, amigos and amigas and amigurettes. My name is Bob Pagani. This show is called If I Knew What I Was Doing, I Would Stop, which is extremely appropriate. Man, rocky start there, wasn't it? I forgot that I needed to disconnect the thing that was running the show before me, okay, so I could plug in the thing that runs my show, because they have to get plugged into the same thing. But I have an excuse. I have a legitimate excuse. I was driving over, I live over on the coast, and it's 2 hours away from the station. So I left at midnight. Okay, I don't start my show until 3 o'clock in the morning. So I left with plenty of time, because I don't like getting here at the last minute and running around and trying to, you know, connect everything. Okay, so I'm doing great. I am sailing through the forest. I am ripping through the forest. In fact, 50 miles of forest, I only saw one vehicle going in the same direction as me for the entire 50 miles. And it was a tow truck, one of those rollback deals where they tilt it and they roll it back and then they pull the crippled car up onto it and then they haul it away. He was ahead of me and we were coming over a peak, about a 1,500-foot peak. And he actually pulled over to the side and let me pass because he wasn't in a hurry. So I'm doing fantastic. I am flying along. And then I get to Highway 26 and I am sailing down Highway 26. For those of you who aren't in the Portland area, Highway 26 is a major artery that runs through Portland and extends to the west, to the western suburbs. And at that hour of the morning, it's deserted. So I am moving and grooving, really with the feeling. I am going to be here in record time. So I decide I am going to get something to eat. And I know that along my path to the station, there's not one, but two 24-hour fast food restaurants. And I don't want to say the name of the chain, but you're all familiar with it, and let's just say it is Scottish. It is a Scottish fast food restaurant, okay? Is that a broad enough hint for you? So I don't stop at the first one because I'm thinking, I'll just go to the second one. It's closer to the station. So I sail past number one, and I'm flying down the road, and I get to number two, and it is 1:30 in the morning. Now, remember, it's 1:30 a.m. I'm going to go on the air at 3 a.m., so I have lots and lots of time. So I get on, and it's a double drive-through. You know, only the drive-through is open. You can't go into the dining room. Only the drive-through works at that hour of the night or morning. Okay, so that means you go, well, after you place your order, then you have to, like, zipper merge. You know, somebody from the left goes and somebody from the right goes. Okay, I get in line, and I'm waiting to pull up to the box where you give the order. I'm waiting to get to there. And now it's 1:42 a.m. And now it's 1:45 a.m. Time is passing. And I get to the box, and I am sitting there waiting. I can't pull forward because there are cars ahead of me, but I'm sitting there waiting. And finally I go, hello? And a woman's voice comes on, and she says, we're taking all the orders at the first window. In other words, the little talkie box isn't in use. Now, they could have put a note on the talkie box saying, give your order at the window. But they did not do that. So all the time I have been sitting in the line to get to the talkie box, and the time I have been sitting at the talkie box are for naught. And I'm starting to think, Maybe I should bail on this process. But I can't back up because there's cars behind me. I cannot back up out of the line. I am trapped in the line. I got on the line at 1:30. Now it is 2 a.m. And I am finally, and this is for reals, I am finally just now pulling up to the order window. And now I'm thinking, if they are as speedy, to use the term loosely, if they're as speedy with the order taking and the order making as they were with getting me to the non-functional talkie box, I'm going to have a problem, okay? Because it's not optional for me to show up late. I have to be here, right? Otherwise, there's, you know, somebody gets stuck staying on the air until I arrive. And that's a very nasty thing to do. That's a no-no in radio. They literally slap your wrist for that. So I'm thinking, okay, I don't even want to order now. I just want to get up, but I can't because, remember I talked about the zipper merge? The car that merged from the left lane in front of me has what I can see is four young people in it. Now remember, it's now 2:00 in the morning on a holiday week. A holiday, that's another thing. We'll get to that. It's a three-day weekend, okay? So being a man of the world who's been around the block, as they say, a time or two, I'm thinking almost certainly the four occupants of this vehicle are chemically impaired in some way, either via alcohol or some other substance. Now, what does that mean? That means that they will be not good at placing their order, and also because there's four of them, their order will be horribly convoluted. Horribly, horribly convoluted, and it will be full of things like, we want like 19 cheeseburgers, and somebody will go, I don't want cheese on mine. All right, we want, what, 15 cheeseburgers and then four cheeseburgers with no cheese? It's going to be like ridiculously complicated. So now I just want to get off the line. I just want to get off the line. I can't back up. I cannot. And they have kind of an escape path. You can go to the right. When you get up to the window, there's an extra little lane where you can exit. But the almost certainly chemically impaired people who are in front of me are situated so that I cannot get to the escape line. I don't even want to place an order now. I just want to get off this line and get to the station. That's all I want to do. All I want in life, my only goal in life is to get off this line at the Scottish fast food place. So finally, I crank down my window and I stick my head out and I say, could you pull up just for a second so I can go around you? Now remember, he drove in, but being almost certainly chemically impaired in some way, apparently it was a mental challenge for the driver of said vehicle to remember how to put it into drive. So about 30 seconds pass before the car lurches forward about 6 linear inches. And I really can't get around him. And I'm like, dude, a little more, maybe like a little. And then he finally pulls up and then I whip out around him. And meanwhile, the guy at the order window, who I also suspect may have been chemically impaired, is looking at me like, what? What are you doing? What are you doing? You're supposed to, like, order. And I'm going, like, yeah, dude, not after 30 minutes of sitting on the line. How long is it going to take for you? And once I give him the money, right, then I don't want to just leave then. So if I seem grumpy, I have a reason, okay? Here's my hypothesis. The entire country of Scotland got together. Maybe they're mad about the Irish vote or over abortion. I don't know. But I am willing to go out here. I'm going to just say it. The entire country of Scotland conspired to screw me out of the food that I was going to eat before I got to the station. So I have no food in my belly. Now, that could make for a better-than-average show. Me being grumpy is typically rather entertaining to others, I have found, unless I'm taking my grumpiness out on them. But I shan't take my grumpiness out on you, dear audience. No, it is aimed at the people of Scotland, who clearly conspired to destroy my morning. So I had to forego the food. I just had to say, okay, screw this. And I zapped around the guy in front of me, and I headed on over here. So I got here about 2:30, when had I not waited online, the word incompetent comes to mind. I hate to apply that to the citizens of a country that has been our loyal and faithful ally for a long time, but I'm just going to say the Scottish people, you realize what restaurant I'm talking about, right? You get what my reference to the Scottish fast food restaurant is, yes? You're understanding me here, right? So, in fairness, I cannot blame the entire country of Scotland. I think I can only blame one clan. One Scottish clan is clearly out to deprive me of nutrition. Although, considering the place we're talking about, nutrition is not at the top of the list of what you get. But anyway, no calories, okay? I didn't get any calories, and I didn't get any caffeine. So I may be a tad grumpy at times. So I apologize before we go any further on this. Hi to everybody on Periscope, okay? Hi, Periscope people. Periscope is an app, if you don't know, that you can get on the App Store, or you can get in the Google Play Store for your phone or tablet, that lets you broadcast from your phone or tablet, and you can also watch other people broadcasting. And every day I'm on there, usually twice a day, or only once if I fall asleep in the afternoon and miss my afternoon thingy. But there are people watching me on Periscope right now, and the Periscope people, see, this is my grumpiness coming out. This is my grumpiness. But the Periscope people have a tendency to demand your total attention at all times. You could be in the middle of an absolutely heart-rending story about your entire family dying in a tragic plane crash. And people on Periscope will come in and go, "You didn't say hi to me when I came in, man. You didn't say hi. You didn't mention my name." And you're like, "Dude, I'm like telling this story about, you know, why I'm an orphan today, you know, because my entire family." "You didn't say hi, man. You're supposed to say hi when people come in the room." And you're like, "So I should interrupt the narration to say hi to, you know, Lumpy Butt 47. I'm sorry to subject you to my grumpiness, people. I'm sorry. All right, I'll move on from that. Okay, it is Memorial Day. That's why I started with that hyper-patriotic thing called The Americans by a Canadian broadcaster who I assume is no longer with us, named Gordon Sinclair. Believe it or not, that little diatribe was a hit on radio back in 1973. You can't even imagine a thing like that being on the radio, on commercial radio today. But it was a hit once upon a time. I don't know what stations played it. I can't picture them wedging that in between, I don't know, who was a hit in 1973? Tom Jones? Who was on the radio in 1973? Tom Jones, the Tijuana Brass Band? I don't know. So they'd play like a Tom Jones song, and then they'd play this guy going, "And no one comes to the aid of the Americans when Hoover Dam breaks," you know? He's kind of a proto-Rush Limbaugh guy there. But he was Canadian, so he had that going for him. But apparently that was like a number one or a number three hit on the pop charts. Times have changed, my friends. Times have changed. Anyway, it is Memorial Day. And as if you were listening to Contessa, and you should, Contessa was talking about how it's people, you know, people, they say, "Hey, how's your holiday weekend going?" It's not a holiday. It's a remembrance. You got Veterans Day, which is for all veterans. Then you got your Memorial Day, which is for people who died in the service of their country. So it's not a happy thing that we're doing today. You're supposed to, like, remember. You're not supposed to go to a 20% off all cotton sheets sale. You know, you're supposed to reflect on the fragility of life and the meaning of those who have given it in the service of their country. That's what you're supposed to do. So it's not a holiday. So I don't know how to greet anybody on it. But I have a larger, I don't know if it's a larger issue, but another issue I wish to discuss with you today. I have another issue. Okay. Parades. There's your leap for you. There's your leap. Parades, right? Now, a lot of places have parades on Memorial Day. I get that. You want some pomp and circumstance to accompany your reflection upon the fragility of life. Okay. But my little observation here goes beyond that. It goes to the heart of the parade itself. Parades are stupid. I'm not talking about Memorial Day parade. I'm talking about any and all parades are stupid. What is a parade? I ask you, friends, what is a parade? A parade is all, this applies to every parade you've ever seen in your entire life, whether in real life or on TV or in a movie. Every parade consists of people standing on the sidewalk, typically on both sides of the street, right? You're standing there while another group of people walks past you. You're standing there watching other people walk past you. That's a parade. That's every day of your life. You're walking down the street and other people walk past you. So if we put it on Memorial Day or the 4th of July or Thanksgiving, do the same thing. You're standing, people are walking past you. Now it's a big deal. Why? Why is that a big deal? That makes no sense. That's stupid. You're watching people walk by you. What? But apparently, parades are built into the human DNA. Because we know that parades go back to ancient civilizations. We know that the Romans had parades, right? Presumably the ancient Greeks had parades. Probably the Egyptians had parades. Civilization, as far back as we have any recorded history, has had parades. And every one of them consisted of people standing still while other people walked past them. Okay, that's all any parade ever is. So if my premise is correct, and if we must have parades because they are wired into us, they're hardwired into, you know, you got levels in your brain. You got your centers of higher reasoning, and they are literally up at the top of your head, inside your skull. And then you have the autonomic functioning stuff, which is down at the bottom, where your brain attaches to your spinal cord, okay? That's the monkey part of your brain. That is the chimpanzee part of your brain. If you took the whole, you know, the part that has all the crevices in it, you know, the cool-looking part of your brain, if you took that out and you just had the bottom part of your brain, you'd basically be a monkey, you know? That's it. You'd eat bananas, and you'd groom your fellow people. You'd sit behind them in bunches and pick ticks off them. That's how we would spend our days, picking ticks off each other, if we didn't have the higher cerebral functions. So I think the desire to participate in and observe parades comes from the lower stem part of the brain, the monkey part of the brain. They serve no function, and they're dumb. Like, okay, I get, like, ancient Rome, right? No TV, no radio, no movies, no internet. So what do you do for laughs? Every once in a while you throw a parade. Okay, I get that in a non-technological society, a parade is probably the best you can do. You stand there, other people walk past you, and you stare at them. All right? But aren't we beyond that at this point? Don't we have better stuff? So if we have to have parades, because the monkey part of our brain, when it isn't picking ticks off our fellow citizens, demands that we have people walking past us while we stare at them, then I humbly suggest it is time to upgrade the parade construct. Now, it's 2018. It's the 21st century. We have pretty cool stuff. Why do we have to have actual people walking past us? Can't we have virtual reality parades? Can't we have augmented reality parades? We can still stand on the sidewalk. Like, augmented reality, okay, is where you look at stuff. You're looking at the actual world around you, but things are added to it. Like, things are superimposed over the real reality that we're looking at. So cannot we have augmented reality parades? Now, before you poo-poo this idea, think about it. Now, just take a moment and think about this. parades, if you're not in like New York or Chicago or LA, you're not getting top tier talent walking past you in the parade, right? What are you going to get? You live in a small town, okay? In a big city, I might grant you that a parade has some appeal in that I was in the Macy's Thanksgiving Day Parade in 1970 because I grew up in New York City and I worked at Macy's. So I got to be in that parade. I was a rabbit. I wore a rabbit costume, and I was assigned to a float that was carrying Don Ho, you know, the Hawaiian singer, who was a big deal back in the day, okay? So, okay, you say, ha-ha, Don Ho, who cares? But, you know, in his day, he was a deal. He was a thing. He was relevant. So in a big city, you get some showbiz. You get some razzmatazz, man. You get some, you know, Broadway performers. You get some people you've seen on TV. You get some stuff. You get giant balloons. So, all right, a parade is borderline in a big city. But when you get into the hinterlands, you're standing on the sidewalk watching your kid's middle school marching band come past you. Okay? They suck. They're not any good. They're just learning how to play their instruments. Okay? So they can't play them well, right? And now, on top of not being able to play well, you're making them walk while they're playing the instruments. This does not enhance their musical ability. This makes it more difficult for them to play the instruments that they're already struggling to play. Think about a trombonist. You're in a marching band and you play the trombone, okay? And you're 12. You suck. Let's just cut to the chase. You suck. I don't care if the trombonist is your nephew. That's fine. You love your nephew. That's great. You want to be supportive. I'm all for it. But let's be honest. Your nephew sucks. He can't play the trombone. But he's trying to. God bless him. He's trying to. And he's marching. And he's got that little music stand that attaches to the slide on the trombone. So he's struggling to play, and he's marching. And while he's playing, he's moving the slide in and out so that the music is going in and out of his focus, because your nephew is myopic and should have corrective lenses, but your sister, whose kid he is too damn cheap to take him to the optometrist. So now he's trying to read the music, and the music is going in and out of focus as he moves the slide on his trombone, and he's a crappy beginning musician in the first place. So this is stupid. Stupid, stupid, stupid. What we need is, we all wear, here's how it would work in my perfect world, okay? You can go to Main Street and you can stand on the curb and Main Street in your little town, but everyone would wear augmented reality glasses. And we probably can't do this quite yet, but in the next 5 years, we'll be able to do this. This will be a practical thing. Now think about it. Once we have the augmented reality, now we can have the best musicians that have ever lived in our parade, right? We can have realistic simulations of them. You could have Jimi Hendrix at the head of the parade, and Jimi Hendrix is playing the Star Spangled Banner like he did at Woodstock, and he's moving past you because it's augmented reality. You're seeing Mr. Johnson's Hardware Store across the street. You're seeing everything that's really there, but in between you and Mr. Johnson's Hardware Store, here comes Jimi Hendrix playing his Stratocaster. He's playing the Star Spangled Banner, one of the greatest performances in the history of rock and roll. And behind Jimi Hendrix, oh my God, is that the Mormon Tabernacle Choir? Why, yes, it is, all 375 strong. The Mormon Tabernacle Choir comes down. And behind the Mormon Tabernacle Choir, is that Elvis? Why, yes, it is Elvis. Oh my God. Okay, and it looks absolutely real because you're wearing your goggles. And then behind Elvis comes the Rockettes. And you're in a little crappy little town. But you're getting top-notch entertainment, much of it from people who died decades ago. And yet, there it is. So every town could have the best parade that's ever existed in the history of parades, since apparently the monkey part of our brain insists on us having parades. Okay? Are you following me with this here? Now, like I said, We're not quite there yet. We're getting there, but we're maybe 5 years, maybe less. Maybe we're 5 years away from having Jimi Hendrix in our small town parade. Well, I have an interim suggestion. Clearly, I have given this a lot of thought. As you can see, I've spent a lot of thought thinking about this over the past few days as I contemplated the 3-day weekend that is Memorial Day. See, I don't want to say celebration. I don't want to say holiday. I'll just say 3-day weekend, okay? Here's my interim suggestion, all right? Parades are ass backwards. The audience stands still, and the parade moves past the audience. Well, what if the marching band is just getting to where you're standing, and this is a song that you actually like? Even though, as we have said, stated for the record, the middle school marching band sucks. None of them are good musicians. They're terrible. But this number, for some reason, you have a fondness for this song that they're about to play. You kind of like this number, how they do it. And you want to hear it. Well, they walk past you, so you hear 10 seconds of the song, right? They walk past, and then they keep walking because you waited all night in this spot on the curb to make sure you were right in the front of the crowd. And the band continues, and now they're getting out of your earshot. Now you don't get to hear the whole number. Here is my practical suggestion, since we don't have the augmented reality fixed to the way I need it to be for my brilliant plan to work. We reverse the entire process of the parade. From now on, the parade gets itself in position, okay? The parade gets in position, and then it stops. It stands there, and the people on the sidewalk walk. The people walk past the parade, right? Think how many things this solves in the current status of the parade technology. Is that the word? The state of the art. Let's say that. The state of the art in parades. If the audience walks, now if they're playing a song you like, you can simply stand there and listen to the whole song. Or you can continue down the street and walk past whatever's behind the marching, another band or whatever's behind. You go, and if you want to hear it over again, when you get to the end, you just double back and come around. And why in 2 millennia of human civilization has no one thought of this? Do you realize how fortunate you are to have me here to come up with these things for you? I told you I was grumpy because I didn't get to eat. But yes, okay, parades are backwards. The parade should stand still. The audience should move. Also, think about this. Now you can have instruments in the parade that you can't have. You could have a grand piano in the parade. They don't have pianos in parades now for the obvious reason that they're large and bulky and they're a pain in the ass to drag down Main Street. But if the parade isn't moving, you can have the piano. The piano can sit there. You can have all kinds of things going on that you can't have currently in a parade. There. See what I've done in the first half hour of this show? I have solved what I consider to be a major social problem. You may not think of it as one, but now that I pointed it out to you, doesn't it make way more sense for the parade to hold its position and people walk past the parade? I would be expressing this much more calmly if I had actually eaten. Well, like I intended to on the way over here. If the Scottish fast food chain had not messed me up, I would still be talking about fixing the parade, but I would be much calmer about it. Right now I'm kind of borderline psychotic. You know, my blood sugar is probably low actually. Blame it on the blood sugar. But anyway, we're off to a rousing start. I have a phone call or two we'll get to later in the show. I've also revolutionized the entire concept of talk radio, which this isn't exactly talk radio because I play music, but it's quasi-talk radio. Pre-record the phone calls. No trolls that way. Brilliant. So now because I have gifted you, I'm so full of myself today. Because I have gifted you with a solution to the parade problem, I am going to play a song in praise of my own genius. And it goes something like this.
Folks, I'd like to sing a song about the American dream. About me. About you. About the way our American hearts beat way down in the bottom of our chests. About that special feeling we get in the cockles of our hearts. Maybe below the cockles. Maybe in the subcockle area. Maybe in the liver. Maybe in the kidneys. Maybe even in the colon. We don't know. I'm just a regular Joe with a regular job. I'm your average white suburbanite slob. I like football and porno and books about war. I got an average house with a nice hardwood floor. My wife and my job, my kids and my car. My feet on my table and a Cuban cigar. Sometimes that just ain't enough to keep a man like me interested.
Oh, no.
No way. No, I've got to go out and have fun at someone else's expense.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I drive really slow in the ultra-fast lane while people behind me are going insane. I'm an toilets and I piss on the seat. I walk around in the summertime saying, how about this heat? I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo, yo, yo, yo. Sometimes I park in handicapped spaces while handicapped people make handicapped faces. I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo. Singing this song, ranting and raving and carrying on. Maybe they're right when they tell me I'm wrong. Nah, I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo.
You know what I'm gonna do? I'm gonna get myself a 1967 Cadillac Eldorado convertible. Hot pink! With whale skin hubcaps and all leather cow interior and big brown baby seal eyes for headlights. Yeah! And I'm gonna drive around in that baby at 115 miles per hour, getting 1 mile per gallon, sucking down quarter pound of cheeseburgers from McDonald's in the old-fashioned non-biodegradable styrofoam containers. And when I'm done sucking down those greaseball burgers, I'm gonna wipe my mouth with the American flag, and then I'm gonna toss the styrofoam containers right out the side, and there ain't a goddamn thing anybody can do about it. You know why? Because we got the bomb, that's why. Two words. Nuclear fucking weapons, okay? Russia, Germany, Romania, they can have all the democracy they want. They can have a big democracy cakewalk right through the middle of Tiananmen Square, and it won't make a lick of difference because we got the bombs, okay? John Wayne's not dead. He's frozen. And as soon as we find a cure for cancer, we're gonna thaw out the Duke, and he's gonna be pretty pissed off. You know why? Have you ever taken a cold shower? We'll multiply that by 15 million times. That's how pissed off the Duke's gonna be. I'm gonna get the Duke and John Cassavetes and Lee Marvin and Sam Peckinpah and a case of whiskey and drive down to Texas.
Hey, you know, you really are an asshole.
Why don't you just shut up and sing the song, pal?
I'm an echo, yo, 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 yo. I'm an echo.
A-S-S-H-O-L-E, everybody. A-S-S-H-O-L-E. And I'm proud of it.
Yeah. That might have not have conveyed quite the meaning that I wanted. I meant that to be a celebration of me. Although it's probably more appropriate than had I done something more self-aggrandizing. Speaking of self-aggrandizing, boys and girls, you're listening to If I Knew What I Was Doing, I Would Stop. I'd be your host. If I was a more pretentious person, I'm only grumpy today because, as I explained, I didn't get to eat anything on the way in. So there is a tiny edge to me today. Just a tiny edge. But if I was a more self-aggrandizing person, I would probably say, I am your tune weaver of the airwaves. Like FM disc jockeys back in the 70s used to say, they'd say things like that. I paint stories with songs. It's like, no, dude, you play records. Let's not go berserk. Someday that's a thing I want to get into, is how everything in, I think, in modern life is hyperbolic. Everything is hyperbolic. You know how, like, we never just, like, try to deal with something. There's always, like, a war on drugs and a war on poverty and a war on this and a war on that. There's no war. Why do you, if you're going to use a metaphor, why does that have to be the metaphor? Why does that have to be the most over-the-top thing you can come up with? How about we're going to, like, try to, you know, slow down drugs and maybe help people not be poor? No. Everything has to be, like, way over the top. Oh yes, self-aggrandizement. There is going to be, I don't know, in the next several days, I don't know exactly when this is going to run, but there's going to be an article about me on New York Magazine's website. I haven't talked to the writer in a few days, so I don't know exactly when it's going to run, but he has been, I talked to him and this guy who's, I wish I could remember his name. It would be nice, wouldn't it, if I could tell you who's writing this thing? But he is writing or has written a thing about me. I've done a lot of weird crap in my life, a lot of really strange stuff. And I want to tell it to you, you know, over time, but I don't want to just like shoehorn it in. So I'm kind of, you know, waiting for subjects to come up that I can kind of say, oh, and speaking of that, there was this time when I, you know, so it's like more organic. So it isn't me just going, let me tell you another amazing thing I did. And here's another, you know. That's, even for me, that's too much. So I want these things to come up organically, but I'm working on it. But there is going to be an article on New York Magazine's website soonish, maybe in the next week. I don't really know. I'll find out. I'll ask them. I'll email them when I get home, and I'll say, hey, what's the deal with the article? Which should be kind of interesting because, as I mentioned, not only am I on at the moment, right on KBO Portland, 90.7 FM, we're also on KBOO.FM, which is the station's website, and it streams on there. And also I'm on Periscope, which is an app where you can see me. If you go to the Periscope app and meander the hallways there, eventually you'll stumble across what I'm doing, and there's a handful of people in there, and I'm waving at them right now. Hi, people. Hi, Periscope people. So you can watch this. And he was writing about Periscope. Because on the Periscope app, see, now it's come up organically, so now I can tell you this semi-self-aggrandizing story. About 9 months ago, give or take, my wife told me about this app called Periscope. And I said, what is it? Well, it's this thing that lets you broadcast from your phone or your tablet. And I thought, that sounds pretty cool. So I looked at it, and there are people on there all hours of the day and night doing different things on Periscope. And so I had, you know, that was fun, looked like fun. So one day I was sitting in my chair in front of my computer, and my phone was on the wireless charger in front of me. And I thought, I was going to close my eyes and take a nap. I thought, what would happen if I turned on Periscope and let people watch me sleep? Would anybody watch that? Is that a thing anybody would watch? So I did it. I turned on Periscope, and I just closed my eyes, and I slept sitting in the chair. And I woke up about an hour later, and I looked, and about 700 or 800 people had watched me sleep. And I thought, okay, from all over the world. I thought, that's kind of weird. That's strange. Maybe this is a thing I should pursue. So I started doing that every day. I would go to sleep and let the thing just point at me while I was sleeping, sitting up in my chair. And it started to take off. I started getting like thousands of viewers, which is very strange. Why? What's the excitement? This is worse than watching a parade. This is like watching a one-man parade where he doesn't do anything. I slept, and people watched. And I was getting as many as 5,000 people a day watching this. And I went, wow, that's odd. So that became my hobby. I was doing that. And everything was going on. I thought, this is amazing. Thousands of people are watching me sleep. This is so strange. I don't know where this is leading, but I'm just going to ride this pony until it collapses and just see what happens. And then I got to Christmas week. Christmas week 2017. Something weird happened. Something very strange happened. And all of a sudden, the audience kind of like dried up. I went from thousands to like hundreds, like almost overnight, over the space of maybe a week. I was like, what happened? Where did everybody go? And I still don't know, but I gather that other people on Periscope have been experiencing the same diminution of their audience, like an erosion. So I don't really know. They don't seem like they're really promoting the app. It's owned by Twitter. And they don't seem to be, like it used to be, your Twitter account was directly connected to your Periscope thing. And now it seems like they've sort of disconnected the two, which makes you think maybe they're going to sell it or something. I don't know. But the bottom kind of fell out of it. But I still have viewers. There's still people who watch, you know, pretty loyally, very loyally. And I love them for doing that. And now I talk. And then I go to sleep. So it's kind of morphed. So that's what the writer was going to write about, was these thousands of people watching me. And then I had to kind of break it to him. Well, you know, it isn't really like that anymore. It's kind of like a lot down from the glory days of, you know, 6 months ago. But it's, so I have no idea what the article is going to be. But there will be an article on the New York Magazine website soonish. Very soonish. I wish it had come out over the weekend so I could tell you about it. Like it's already there. But, you know, probably in 2 weeks when I come back here to do this thing over again, it'll probably be on the website by then. So if you're a person, if you look at the New York Magazine, I think it's newyorkmag.com. I don't even know. Whatever it is, it's some variation. Maybe it's NY Magazine, New York Magazine. I don't know. You'll find it. You'll figure it out. Google for it. There will be a thing on there, which is kind of cool. I'm kind of happy about that. So I thought I'd give you a heads up about that. In a little bit here, maybe after the top of the hour, because right now it's 3:46 a.m., maybe at the top of the hour, this is a thing I've been wanting to do, is kind of throw out a topic, but I know from observing Contessa, who does the show from midnight to 2 on Monday mornings every week, that at this hour of the morning, if you take live calls, a large percentage of what you get is people who don't really want to help the show along, shall we say. They either want to scream obscenities, or they want to use racial epithets, or they want to make noises with their nether regions, or simulated noises from their nether regions. So I thought, aha, I've got the answer to this. Because I'm all alone at the station. I don't have anybody to screen the calls. It's all me. So I would have to take them absolutely cold and live. So I thought maybe if I pre-record calls. So I have been diligently on social media giving out a topic. And I've got a call or two that we'll get to in a little bit. Just to shake things up. So the topic is alien abduction. So I will have a live call. And I will have at least one recorded call from people who have stories of alien abductions. Just for the hell of it, because, you know, if you can't experiment between 3 and 5:30 a.m. every other Monday on the radio, when can you do it on the radio? So you got that to look forward to. So stick around. That's going to be coming up in a couple of minutes. In the meantime, I have been looking for interesting music and interesting artists to play for you since the last show, and before the last show I did here, too. Because that's the other thing that I want to do, is play stuff that just doesn't get played on the air, even on a station like KBOO. So I've been looking around, and I found some stuff, and I stumbled across an artist, a woman named Karen Mantler. Mantler. I haven't misspelled on my little machine here. It's Mangler. No, it's not Mangler. It's Mantler, you idiot. She is, if you know jazz, if you're deep into the world of jazz, you may have heard of Carla Bly. Carla Bly is a pianist, and she sings and stuff. And she did an album that came out in like 1969 or 1970. A very, very strange album called Escalator Over the Hill. And it's kind of like an opera. Okay, it's kind of an opera. But it's very weird. It's a kind of a surrealist opera. It doesn't make a lot of rational sense. But you got some really big names in jazz. And you got other people like Linda Ronstadt is on it. And I was listening to some of it the other night. And she, I forgot how, what a fantastic voice Linda Ronstadt has. Or had. She's really amazing. But it's a very, very strange thing. And she and her husband, Michael Mantler, have a daughter named Karen Mantler, who I just discovered, never heard of her until maybe 72 hours ago. Really, really interesting artist in her own right from the stuff that I've heard. So I'm going to play you a couple of songs by her that I happen to find. And these are, they're self-explanatory, okay? So the first one is called I Can't Afford My Lawyer. And the second one is called Arnold's Dead. So let's listen to Karen Mantler play these songs. Because I heard these and went, oh, yes. Oh, yes. These must be presented to a larger audience. Okay, here we go. Song number one, I Can't Afford My Lawyer by Karen Mantler.
Afford my lawyer, his rates are way too high, but he says my case is strong, and he knows the judge, my lawyer, is a liar. I doubt he's on my side, and if I don't pay him, I fear. My lawyer, he wants more than I have, but he swears he'll win my case. Wish that I could trust him, but my lawyer is a liar. I'm sure he doesn't care. It's all about the money.
Fortune.